Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back to 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. It's just you and me. I've got some things I want to talk to you about. You know, folks, think about this number, 1440. You recognize that number, 1440. That's the number of minutes in a day. And since we can make more money, arguably the greatest challenge of any of us as small business owners is balancing the demands of the forces that compete for those minutes every day, right? That's our biggest challenge. What's the best use of my time right now? Is the constant management question on Main Street. What's the best use of my time right now? I see you nodding your heads. It's me too. I ask the same question every day. And it's not a, notice I didn't say lament. It's not a lament because we come up with the answer. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. We have a lot of hats to wear. What's the best use of my time right now? And in no other part of the year, my friends, are we more time management challenged than right now, the end of the year, when we're faced with allocating time to two very powerful management imperatives. The tactical focus on closing out the year in sales as strongly as possible, while simultaneously taking strategic steps to set the business up for a fast and a clean start on January 1. In his book, Blue Highways, you've heard me mention this book before, William Least Heat Moon said his Osage Indian grandfather once told him, "Some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves." It's a natural law that the year-end sales push doesn't have to be remembered. It remembers itself, right? We all know that. But as we come to the two-minute drill in the last quarter of the marketplace game that you and I have been playing all year, committing precious time and energy to preparing for the future instead of closing out the year requires the discipline to remember it ourselves. There are many areas to focus on this month to help you start the new year clean and fast. I've got five here that I want you to think about. So think about these five things while you're simultaneously pushing to close sales. You're pushing your salespeople, you're strategizing, you're talking to customers. You want to close out the year and have a strong year. Maybe this is the effort you're going to make in sales right now. Maybe this is what will make your year. You don't have it made yet. You're trying to make it happen this year. So I know there's a lot of pressure on you to do those. But simultaneous with all that, I'm going to ask you for some time to do these five things, at least these five things, and there are a few more you could think about. Number one is throw stuff away. Even if you're not a pack rat like me, and I am, you've accumulated stuff that you don't need anymore. You don't use it anymore. For example, one of the markers of a 21st century office is the digital graveyard, right? You've got one. I've got one. Unused or broken computers, monitors, whatever, may have some value. So call a tech recycler and convert it into cash. But if you can't sell it, whatever it is, technology or not, if you can't sell it, if you can't give it away, throw it away because it's in your way. Number two, empower producers. Cut the deadwood. Year end is also a great time to take stock of employees who've demonstrated leadership and engagement. Recognizing the performance of those individuals right now will motivate them to a fast start of the new year. So please brag on, encourage, pat them on the back, whatever you can do for those people who demonstrate leadership and engagement. But the only thing worse then firing someone is letting an unproductive employee hold your team's performance hostage for another year. A byproduct of identifying those who perform is also a shining light of those who don't. You owe productive people the most effective organization possible, which means you have to let the unproductive pursue their careers elsewhere. And as I said, the only thing worse than firing someone is letting an unproductive employee think your team is being held hostage. Number three, classify customers. Classify your customers by gross profit margin into four groups, from the most profitable A's to the least profitable D's. So you want to worship the A's, you want to cater to the B's, encourage the C's, and teach the D's about self-service. When the cost of a customer's expectations encroaches on your profit margin too much, when people are more troubled than becoming more troubled than they're worth, you have to allow them to join your unproductive employees elsewhere. It's tough. I know it's hard to do, my friends. This is one of the hardest things that you'll have to do. It's hard to get rid of an employee sometimes, but it's even harder to tell a customer who won't let you make a profit that they can't play with you anymore. They can't come in your backyard and play anymore. Or say to them, you know what? What we have to do to serve you isn't good for us at the price we've charged you. So I need to charge you more. If we're going to continue to work together, I want to keep you as a customer, but I can't do it at the price you're willing to pay. Can we work that out? To have that conversation with them. Number four, inventory. Purge inventory. As with customers, take a new look at your products and inventory by identifying the most productive A's to the least productive D's. Take stock all the A's, a few of the B's, and maybe a couple of the C's. But never let a D product, never let a piece of inventory in the D category spend one night under your roof unless it's already paid for. Remember, profitable inventory management means just-in-time delivery, not just-in-case. And write off obsolete and damaged inventory. Take the hit now. Take another hit by accounts receivable, writing off uncollectible accounts receivable. Folks, you got to know about this. Maybe you'll collect it, maybe you won't, but your banker will like it, and it'll be a write-off this year. And if you collect the money next year, it'll be gravy, right? You got to have the discipline, folks, to set up the new year for a clean and fast start. While you're closing out the year in sales, make sure that you're doing the things to give next year a chance for a fast start. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingham. See you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.